You could say it's a must win because neither one of us want to be 0-2. So we're each going to go out there and give it our best shot to try and win the game.
Justin Reed, pretty frank words on Monday during the open locker room session the morning after the loss to New England. As we are into the 9 o'clock hour, Wade Smith will join us in a moment. So let me go around the room first. Is this a must-win game? I'm going to say it's not a must-win game, but boy, you're going to be feeling horrible on Monday morning if they lose.
You and your must-win. Your infatuation with must-win.
Justin Reed said it's a must-win.
Of course it's not a must-win game. It's your second game of the season. Is it hard to make the playoffs and to do well if you start off 0-2? Of course it is. You've dug yourself a massive hole. But no, it's not a must-win game.
It's a must-win game because losing to the Tennessee Titans is embarrassing. They are quarterbacked by Marcus Mariota, who I've joked about being a glorified running back. Delanie Walker is not playing. Jack Conklin might not play. You might not have Taylor Lewan in this game. The Texans should win this game, so that's why it's must win. The Titans stink in week two.
I mean, I would say this, that it's not a must win game just for the simple fact it's only the second game of the year. But if you lose this ball game, talk about a loss of confidence, a loss of like Paul just said, you should expect to go in there and win this ball game. You're a more talented team, better coached. So go out and get the W.
Now, with the offensive line on Sunday, obviously we want to get your take. And I guess my first thing is I'm kind of mixed. I think the offensive line is clearly a big issue and will be a big issue for this team. At the same time, I felt offensively like there were times where they gave Deshaun a better chance than he made it seem. What was your analysis of how they played Sunday?
I'll just say this. First of all, I'm going to start with the positive. I thought that Nick Martin played a really good game. He did especially in the run game. He didn't really give up any pressures that I saw, but even in the run game, you know, what he did was really well against a shade nose. A lot of those runs that the running backs were breaking when they were giving handoffs under the center, it was him winning at the point of attack against one-on-one against a shade. And that's really the biggest block that a center has. And he kind of struggled with that early in the preseason and last year at times. And so he did a good job against Malcolm Brown and Danny Shelton. And so that was good to see. The tackle play, they struggled. And they look like a rookie and a guy that basically is a rookie. You got Julian Davenport that started two games last year. He's still pretty much a rookie. And so when you have two rookies out there playing a significant amount of time, they're going to get exposed. Mm-hmm. And so I think the thing about it is they have physical traits and talents that are going to lend them to eventually be a success in this league. But right now, when you're playing against a smart veteran defensive line, they're going to take advantage of you being young and green. And so it's really up to the coaching staff to put together a game plan with how they do the protections, how they do the chips, how they do, you know, the running backs come out the backfield and hitting guys and tight ends, chipping and releasing. And that's going to be the biggest key this week against the Titans.
Were you surprised that they moved Rankin to left tackle when Chantrell Henderson got hurt? After the game, Rankin said that he's more comfortable at left tackle. And you go back and you look at some of the other players that they brought in, and we've talked about this before, how Jeff Allen was the guy who probably should have been on the left side of the offensive line, but for whatever reason they decided to put him on the right side.
Well, that's a little bit of a different situation. So you have Jeff Allen, that was a guy that was a veteran that had done it and proven himself at a certain position, and then they put him in a different position, which is kind of weird. I just thought that was wrong from the jump. In this case, you got Julian Davenport, who hasn't solidified himself, is like, I'm the bona fide left tackle of his team, and so now you can't move me. You know what I mean? He's still a young guy himself, and so Rankin is a guy that was only been here, what, 3-4 weeks? He had like 3-4 weeks of practice. And so you're trying to get through a ball game. It's like, all right, let's put this rookie in the best possible situation that he can be in. And we'll have Davenport adjust because he's had more experience playing the right side just from being here a year and a month.
That's got to be tough mid game to make that kind of adjustment from the left to the right.
I would think, but the problem with Julian Davenport is he was struggling on the left side before he moved to the right side, and he struggled on the right side too. So
he was consistent. Consistency.
It wasn't a situation where it was like, you know, he was having a hell of a game on the left side and they switched him and he started struggling.
So you're like, lady, you're a horrible driver. Now get out of that Mazda and get in a Nissan. And it's just saying it's all the same. She's still going to be a horrible driver.
Well, with the offensive line, we had Michael Lombardi join us yesterday from The Athletic and The Ringer, and here was his perspective on the Texans' offensive line and how much of a problem it will be for the rest of the season.
And one of the things I regret not talking about last week on the show was, look, bad offensive lines don't travel well. And that's been my rule in the NFL. Bad lines don't travel well. Minnesota's got a bad offensive line because of injuries. They're going into Green Bay. Typically, you don't travel well. Houston's offensive line was not very good. They lose the left tackle early in the game. Bad lines don't travel well, and that's always been a problem. They're going to have to fix that. And I think that's part of the issue when they play against better teams is that offensive line shows up as not having enough talent base to really sustain it. Not that the Patriots are great at on their defensive front, but they're good enough and they're smart enough on how they rush. So I think that's going to be the challenge for the Texans this year is can they play effectively with their offensive line when they go on the road?
And that's some of our listeners actually texted in after that. Like, well, duh, yeah, that's dumb. Of course, a bad player doesn't play well on the road. But I think especially with offensive line, because of crowd noise alone, all of a sudden, if you don't have smart offensive linemen that can't quite hear the calls and adjustments, then there's no way in hell they're making them on their own. And then also just adding in the snap count and having to go on a silent count where you're really giving the defensive linemen like – They're on an even playing field with you when there's no snap count. So I think that's probably more true with offensive line than maybe any other position.
Yeah, it definitely eliminates your margin for error. I think it minimizes it significantly because if you're a talented group up front and maybe you're a step slow on your set on the snap count because it's so loud in there, you can make up for it with your physical traits or with the fact that you guys have been working together for an extremely long time and you know what the other person is going to do and you can govern yourself accordingly. But if it's a situation where your guys out there that are green and you haven't gone through these battles on the road before, you're going to get exposed. Now, the good thing about it is there's a good point that Lombardi made. He said that the New England front wasn't a really talented line, but they were smart and they knew how to rush guys. And so the thing that they have going in their favor, I think, for the Titans is I don't necessarily see them as like a smart, disciplined group up front that's going to rush the passer and stay in their passing lanes. I mean, pass rush range lanes. I just don't see that from them. New England, those guys, I don't care if it's New England in 2001 or it's New England in 2021. Their pass rushers are going to be smart and disciplined in their rush, and they're going to know the different situations. They're going to govern themselves accordingly. And that was something that kind of got exposed from the Texans when they went up there to Gillette.
What I'm wondering from a big picture standpoint, their plan on the offensive line, has the plan actually made sense? Obviously, Deshaun going down last year crushed the whole season, but if I'm any professional sports team, the games that I play are also an opportunity to develop guys moving forward. They had games where Jeff Allen played a lot last year. Giacomini played a lot last year.
Played pretty good at left tackle, too.
Yeah, he did for a little bit, which is shocking. But I guess the point is that you could have used that time, and maybe this is unrealistic, but to develop a solid starter or two. When you look at what they did in the offseason, going after Nate Solder, not getting him, backup plan being what they had heading into week one, which was Davenport, Henderson, and then ranking behind those guys, and now what we have now. Did the plan make sense? Would you have done something differently? The pickings were pretty slim at tackle. What do you think about their plan? I'm fine with the interior, but especially on the outside.
Well, I mean, I think towards the end of the season last year, they did play Davenport and get him some reps in there. He started the last two games.
He did.
I do think that throughout the season, especially even if when Deshaun Watson gets hurt, you can put a rookie in there and get him experience, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be good experience because you're playing with a quarterback that is not mobile. And so that might destroy your confidence before it gives you confidence. You never know. You never know how that necessarily will work out. I think that, like I said, I think that overall, the fact that the situation with Dwayne Brown wasn't handled properly, overall, just however you want to look at it, whoever you want to point the finger at, whatever, that situation is a direct result. The result of that situation is direct reason why the line is in its shape it is now. Because if you still have Dwayne Brown at left tackle, now you have maybe Davenport that is playing right tackle full time, and you went out and still got those three guys. Went out and got Chantel Henderson. Maybe you went out and got Henderson to compete with Davenport.
Then you feel much better.
And then you still have your two guards that you just brought in, and you have Nick Martin. You feel better about the situation in general. And they tried to go out and get Soldier, and they couldn't get him. And once you didn't get him, there's nobody left.
Yeah.
And so now you just have to – I think it's just going to be upon the offensive coaching staff to put together game plans to where they can help those guys. And you have to, as a fan, you have to manage your expectations. Like, hey, these guys are going to go through growing pains. They're rookies. They're both rookies, and they're having to start. And this is a team that is expected to win ball games. And so you just have to just be a cognizant of that.
This is what I think you need to do with your foundation in the offseason, is start a foundation to help offensive linemen learn how to play in the NFL, since they don't get the experience in college that they used to. And then at the same time,
is anybody good anymore?
You could also teach them how to read. So that'd be those two things. You could continue your literacy efforts, right, but then also just teach them how to read blitzes, how to read just simple tackle and twists, like these kinds of things.
We'll see what we can do. I don't know. Do you think that the Texans fan base would come up with some funding to help to make that happen? We're going to directly help your line get better. And so
that's actually, that'd be good. Start a GoFundMe for an O-line academy.
Put a grand initiative together so that we can just sit down and have film sessions in the off season to tell you, like, this is what's going to happen. And this is what, you know, these guys should prepare for.
Who's the old, there's an old Saints offensive lineman.
Charles Bentley.
He's got like an O-line academy in the offseason.
It's legit too.
Is it really?
His thing is legit. And a lot of guys go out there like you watch some of his videos and stuff that he has online, and the way he talks about the game and approaches it, like, he was a legit player.
Yeah.
And then you can tell he put a lot into researching and learning and developing kind of his ethos on how to approach being an offensive lineman. And they have, if you look at kind of like his wall of fame of offensive linemen that comes to his academy, like, it's legit. He's got a bunch of guys out there that are legitimate players.
And does he have a bunch of guys that you could point to and say, oh, yeah, he was raw coming out of college, and now, like, I look at him as a...
But
yeah.
Diving into it and research, I just...
But some studs have worked out.
Yeah, he's definitely has some studs there. And he has some guys that are middle-of-the-road guys that, you know, that end up doing pretty well. Now, I don't know how many just projects he's taken in there and made great, but from what I've seen of him, his thing is legit.